David, how sick am I a person that I watch the coverage from Augusta and I watch the guys hit balls on the driving range for like hours at a time?
I'd say you're probably terminal.
Yeah. There's no saving me, right?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
I've been making this case for a while now, David. Just get rid of them. Just shut it down, you know, end it.
Yeah. I will say, though, that watching Bryson DeChambeau on the range is a little bit different than, although I love watching Fred Couples on the range, too. But Bryson DeChambeau is a separate animal. I don't know if you saw the footage of him and it's some of the golfers watching him hit golf balls and how quickly he was doing it. Like, that is something that if you saw somebody at your local range doing that, you'd be laughing because that's not how golf is played. And here's a guy who's one of the favorites to win, and he's doing that on the range.
I know, and normally he would take an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. He's not exactly quick,
no,
to say the least.
Yeah,
he is not.
And again, we were just talking about before you came on. I just really want one day for him to play a back nine where it's super competitive with Koepka. And hopefully, yeah, anyways, DeChambeau is just thinking in his head, I'm going to slow this down until they borderline have to penalize me so that I just throw Koepka off his game. That's the only way. It doesn't seem like we're going to get that this year, though, because Koepka looks really hurt. Why do you think he's doing this? Do you think he's going to be able to roll this weekend? Because by all indications, it seems like he's coming back a little too early here.
Who, Koepka?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I don't know anything about his physical condition, but it's an awfully big temptation to come back early if you're early as the Masters.
So we were discussing this morning about how there's no Tiger Woods this year. Everybody understands that. And yet, I feel anyways, as a golf fan, there's become almost an addiction to rooting for a comeback story. Everyone likes that in general, but we've been so used to having Tiger's narrative of can he do it again, can he do it again. All of a sudden, Jordan Spieth is playing well. All of a sudden, Jordan Spieth ends up winning a tournament. And we know that you're very close with Rory McIlroy. And to me, anyways, it feels like golf sort of needs one of these guys to make a comeback. Golf needs one of these guys not just to be competitive in random tournaments, but to win majors again. Do you feel that way as well? Do you feel as though golf needs one of these two guys? Golf needs a comeback story with at least one time one of its great two players?
Well, I think that would certainly help. You know, I think the game's in great shape. We've got so many great youngsters, and I'll tell you, it's a different game from when I played, which is only 25, 26 years ago. Well, that's a quarter of a century. What am I talking about? you know, they just hit shots that were unthinkable in my day, and it's not all to do with equipment either. You know, they're bigger, stronger, faster, and we have a great bunch of good young players out there. Any of them could break through, you know, at any moment. That's the difference between majors today and majors back in, you know, say the Nicklaus era. They are so much harder to win these days because there's so much strength and depth. Virtually everyone, not in the Masters because they have some you know, previous winners from, you know, decades ago and things like that. But everybody else in the tournament is capable of winning it. And, you know, you couldn't really say that 30 or 40 years ago. So, you know, to have somebody pop up and win two or three majors, you know, like Brooks Koepka did or Jordan Spieth did a few years ago is really something special to see.
Yeah. You mentioned it. It's such a different game right now. The length is ridiculous. And it seems like from every comment that he's made that Rory McIlroy felt like he fell into that trap of speed and strength and distance, and that it's hurt the rest of his game. And now he's working with the new swing coach. What do you make of that situation? That, I mean, some of the statistics, I mean, his approaches from 100 to 125 yards, he's like 180th in the world in how close he's hitting those approach shots. Where do you think his game is at right now, and how quick could this process be of getting back to that elite player in the world?
Well, you know, these guys are so good. They can make changes so quickly that it wouldn't surprise me to see Rory with a great chance to win on Sunday. As for, you know, changing his swing, why would you change anything about that? It's just confidence. That's all it is. And, you know, it'll come back. It's a game that nobody plays well all of the time except the guy that's in hospital right now. You know, his career around the turn of the century there was just... it was just ethereal, I mean, beyond belief. And I was lucky enough to have a front row seat for all of that. You know, the Open in 2000 and every other tournament except that. And, because who did the Open before me? Who did that? It was ESPN and somebody else. Yeah, I know. My memory. But I wouldn't change a damn thing about Rory McIlroy's swing. There is no one that makes the game look prettier than he does when he's swinging within himself and, paying attention to what he is doing instead of what might happen. And that's what happens to every golfer, whether it's the weekend hacker or the top tour pros. At some stage during their career, they're going to start worrying about what might happen. And, instead of paying attention to what they are doing, and that's a lesson that every golfer could take. You know, you just concentrate on what's happening in the space that you occupy. That's it. Because that's what they do when they play well, but it's a subconscious thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember speaking with you in November about Rory and how you felt about his, just where he was at with his game heading into that. And he did finish strong, right? But it was one of those ones where he started to play, I thought, a little bit more relaxed golf later in... Well, it was obvious that he did that because his scorecard blew up early, and then later he made that push. Do you think that the finish changes something? Like, is there a start? Is the start more important for any of the horses more than it is for Rory McIlroy this weekend?
No, I don't think so. It's just, the start is always... it's always important, although we saw Tiger shoot 40 on the front side when he won by 12. You know, so, it depends on the player. You know, some of them get motivated. We saw this last week at the Texas Open as a couple of people got off to really bad starts that ended up in contention. So, another thing that has improved over the years is players' attitudes. We see a lot of it's painful to see Ricky Fowler with his head down. That's something that we've not got used to over the years. But it depends on the individual player. You know, sometimes a bad start can just kill a player, you know, or kill their round. And some players, it just motivates them.
Talking to David Faherty, Bryson DeChambeau mentioned he's a freak show, and I enjoy watching him on the driving range. I enjoy watching him speak as well, and he's not really backed off what he was talking about back in November about this being a par 67, and he was well over par, according to him, in that tournament. And Larry Mize, who hits it 240 yards, is beating him in rounds. That was kind of interesting and fun. Do you think that mentality has to change for DeChambeau? Do you have to be a little more humble, or is that... just be who you are, and just because it didn't go well in November, don't change anything.
Yeah, no, I don't think you change anything there, and I'm not sure there's a coach out there that would be capable of understanding what he's doing. You need a degree in thermal dynamics to understand the simplest part of his game. But, you know, one of the most common questions I get asked is, you know, people will ask, you know, what's Bryson DeChambeau really like? Because... You know, players are on the golf course. They have this sort of demeanor. But even when he comes off the golf course at the end, I think, you know, he probably gains 40 points on his IQ when he puts his golf shoes on. And then he loses it, you know, when he takes them off. I might not go with some of the statements that he's made. But, boy, it's hard to argue with the way that he's played.
Yeah. Is he well liked on tour, would you say? Because it's hard to get a gauge of that.
Yes, it is. Yeah, he is. He's a great kid. And he's a very interesting young man. He has a completely different outlook in the game, which is kind of refreshing. But like you said earlier, I just wish he did it a little quicker.
Yeah. I wish he did it a little quicker. I don't want him to stop talking because it's interesting. It gives us something.
No, it is. That's fascinating. Yeah. But that these greens books that they've got, you know, the GPS mapping of the greens and showing all the slopes, that's one of the worst things that have happened, you know, for the pace of play. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see that change. You know, they take those greens books out of the hands of the pros and hopefully the amateurs, because the last thing we need.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know much about those greens books exactly that you're talking about. Like, they do... I understand that, yeah, the caddy has a book of notes that he's making during practice rounds about where certain greens slope, but you're talking about something that's given to them by the tournament director or something that is, you know, specific about the angles and slopes of these greens?
Well, there's a guy, an ex-caddy, that does these books for them. You know, they're all very accurate. But this is a GPS deal. I'm not sure where it comes from, to be honest. But, you know, they're given this book at the start of the week. And what it is, it's a lot of little swirling arrows. It's very confusing if an epileptic wouldn't want to look at it, let's put it that way. And you can see the slopes and the greens and match it up to what, or you can read the slopes and the greens, then match it up to what you're seeing. And, I mean, it just, you see them standing there staring at this little book. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it drives me out of my mind.
I don't know,
which is a short journey.
Yeah, I don't know if you necessarily need that at Augusta. Like, we've all watched this tournament for as long as we've enjoyed golf, and I think almost everybody knows what those greens do, and that's they're very fast. We all know the slopes, and that's why. I mean, this tournament is so popular for a number of different reasons, but the fact that we see it at the same course every year, that it's now available in video games, that people have played it themselves, that they know those things, like that feels like unnecessary for this tournament specifically, because who doesn't know where the slopes are on these greens?
Well, you know, the thing about Augusta is so different is, you know, they change the course every year. It's sort of a work in progress, the Augusta National. It's never been the same 2 years in a row, and they don't tell you about all the changes. And here's a good one. If you go to Google Earth, you know, you can see your own house, and sometimes you might be able to see your dog in the backyard, something like that.
It's crazy.
If you go to Google Earth and Google Augusta National Golf Club, you either get an image that is a couple of years old, or the image is pixelated. These people control the satellite. That's as far as they go. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing the power or the influence that you know, the members of that golf club or the committee or whoever it is that's in charge of that sort of thing. It's incredible the reach that they have.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's another reason is that's why we don't have a blimp at Augusta. They don't want to show the course from overhead.
Oh,
they don't
want
to show the hooters down the street.
Yeah, I was just
gonna say. Yeah, the crosswalks. They don't want to show the crosswalks because they make the golf course look kind of tatty, and that's the last thing they want. So there's never been an aerial photograph during a telecast at Augusta.
I know. I've been there, and I've seen that hooters. Perhaps have been in for a meal or two, and it is,
it's
like
wings.
Literally on
it's
the other
the
side
wings.
Of the fence. Oh, good wings. Delicious.
Mm.
Really good, and I read Playboy for the articles as well. David, it was great to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, David.
You're very welcome, guys. I hope you have a great week, and it should be fun to watch this.